Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There is a characteristic of the human phenomenon of religion that embraces the insiders, and it protects the beliefs, but also distances itself from those who are other. Often, religion gives its adherents a secure identity in contrast with the outsider, who is sometimes considered dangerous. The religion of Jesus Christ, as it is explained and described in the Gospel of Luke today, hopes to be different in this regard. Christ embraces the outsider because Christ sees all people. How many of you have ever felt out of place? Maybe you have been the person that was an outsider in a particular setting. Maybe even being the one that's in the in-between places. Maybe not being seen by others, not wanted by others. Jesus traveled to Jerusalem by way of between Samaria and Galilee, making this a very unusual route to get to Jerusalem, almost going out of his way to walk the boundary line between these two regions of pure Jews and mixed Jews. For the last seven chapters, we have encountered in Luke where Jesus is now turning his way to Jerusalem, to a cross that awaits him there. But along the way, he continues to share parables about the kingdom of God. The lost sheep, the prodigal son, the lost coin, the mustard seed, the yeast, and the narrow doorway. Jesus has already healed two men and two women. He has preached about money, law, and helping the neighbor. And now Jesus walks the line. He travels in the boundary area of two cultures who have despised each other since the time of the patriarchs. Sometimes we encounter such boundaries in our own systems. We encounter people living in the in-between places where we dare not tread. There are physical and cultural walls all around us. There are in-between areas of life which make us uncomfortable to go to. There are others in our midst that continue to exist in these areas, sometimes afraid, unseen, and in need of healing. I think of our youth, no longer children and not quite adults, struggling with emotions and body changes. It's an in-between place. It's a tough place to be. I think of immigrants who have one culture of their homeland and now live in America in a completely different culture. They are in between cultures. I think of the homeless on our streets, human beings and yet cast aside by society without the basic needs of survival. They are outside our boundaries in societal built walls. I think of the mentally and physically disabled of our society who have boundaries and are limited by our systems. Jesus travels between boundaries. Jesus comes breaking in beyond the boundaries and borders and restrictions and heals in our story today. But it's not quite that simple. You see, it could easily be heard as another healing story. Jesus is asked to heal, Jesus does, others witness, and all is well in the world. But this story is different. We have 10 lepers who call from a distance for mercy, not healing. They have been excluded from community, the synagogue, and family for who knows how long. They have formed their own community in time based off of their common disease. They have no one else. Master, have mercy on us, they cry out. And Jesus sees them. He sees them and he tells them to go. Go show yourselves to the priests. You see, the priests of the time, they determined the cleanliness of an individual and if they could enter the synagogue, ultimately decide if they could be in relation with the community again. To go into town, to be seen again, to be known, this was huge. They had been cast aside from this system, which somehow had come to the idea that those who were not like the community should not live within the community. They were dangerous. Yes, leprosy was a physical skin disease, which some thought, at the time, was highly contagious. But it was beyond that. This practice of casting away the other was beyond a skin disease. Think about those who were crippled, missing limbs, mentally deranged and troubled. They were all cast aside in this system of where only the insiders were allowed. All others were unclean, unwanted, unseen. 10 lepers are sent to be seen, to be verified clean by the priest. But along the way, one notices his healing body and decides to disobey Christ. Yes, that's right. He disobeys Christ's order to go, and he feels propelled to return to Christ. We have a tendency to give the other 9 lepers a really bad rap because they didn't come back and say thank you to Jesus as the Samaritan healed leper did. But truthfully, they are the ones who actually obeyed Christ. So I'm not going to talk bad about them today. We're going to give them a break. This one healed leper returns and lays himself before Christ. He is not just a Jew, though. He is a Samaritan, a half-bred Jew. He was an outsider. Maybe he knew what waited for him back in the village, where the priest would proclaim him clean and healed, and then he would fall back into the system from which he came, one that would ostracize and exclude the other, the others, like him, that were unclean. Maybe it would be a physical uncleanliness, maybe a cripple, who he would now be told not to associate with. He would be going back to the same system which caused him harm in his separation from his community, away from his family. Maybe it was this realization which caused him to see his healing and run away from the village priest's acknowledgement and go back to the one who saw him as a human being before he was clean and healed. The one who saw him for who he truly was. A child of God. The healing is not the miracle in this story. The healing is in the believing and knowing Jesus saw him, and in seeing there was grace given and wholeness received. The man is so thankful, he lays prostrate before Christ. Jesus tells him, "Go, go, you are now well, you are whole." The Greek word here is sozo. It means whole, healed, saved. The man's faith has made him whole. He was healed physically, but he was made fully whole by being seen. Some of the greatest healing is in being seen, truly seen. The first blessing was of healing, which then caused a second blessing of wholeness. David Laus says, "Before we are called to believe or confess or help or do, we are called to simply see and to help others do the same." We are called, that is, to point out blessings, to claim mercy, to name grace wherever we are. The Talmud says a very interesting thing of, we do not see things as they are. We see things as we are. Robert Barron puts it this way to simplify. Christianity is, above all, a way of seeing. Everything else in Christian life flows from and circles around transformation of vision. Christians are differently. They see differently. And that is why their prayer, their worship, their action, their whole way of living in the world has a distinctive accent and flavor. What unites figures as diverse as James Joyce, Caravaggio, John Milton, the architect of Chartres, Dorothy Day, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and Bob Dylan is a peculiar and distinctive take on things, a style, a way, which flows from Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus sees. Jesus sees us. And in being seen, we are saved. We are made whole. Being seen changes us and moves us into being thankful. And that thankfulness allows us to see. Origen of Alexander once remarked that the holiness is seeing with the eyes of Christ. And Thomas Aquinas said that the ultimate goal of Christian life is beatific vision, an act of seeing. Just as prayer does not ultimately change the situation which we're praying about, but rather it changes something within us, thanksgiving does the same. It's about seeing what we've already been giving and rejoicing in a way that cannot help but shape how we act. Maybe you've encountered a time where you've taken diligence in preparing a special meal. You have your beloved guests sitting around the table, enjoying each other's company. You sit back, you watch, and you see the circle of love before you. You pause. You raise a glass and you openly say, "This is great. This meal, this time, you all, thank you." Or maybe it's the top of the mountain at the side of a gorgeous lake in the sacred silence of creation. And you lean into your hiking partner and you say, "This is beautiful. I'm so glad you're here to share it with me. Thank you." Thanksgiving comes from perception, from seeing and then articulating it, expressing it, even when it seems inadequate. The world is full of blessings and challenges. Which will we focus on? There's a time for lament and cries and justice and activism, but given that we live in a culture, a system, filled with blame and accusations, and almost devoid of thanksgiving, maybe on this day, this Sabbath, we can see our blessings and give thanks. There is no doubt something to be understood here about the people who live on the margins of our communities are treated as invisible or unlovely because of how they look, or who they are, or where they come from. But Jesus sees and loves them, and calls us to do the same. But we might also consider the parts of us that are hidden in the borderlands of ourselves, where we may least want to be seen and most need to be made whole. Jesus is not afraid of borderlands, does not mind meeting us in those places. And it may be in that, by recognizing him there, we will find in our deepest selves a new opportunity of grateful love that makes well, makes whole. This table, these waters, this is where God sees us, all of us, always. There are no borderlands. This Christian faith, which is so peculiar, is about seeing the other, welcoming the other, accepting the other, loving the other, as God loves and sees us. May you have faith that Jesus sees you, all of you, and loves you unconditionally. May you feel that overwhelming blessing of being seen and be thankful. And may you, in that energy of thankfulness, see another for their wholeness, which God has also granted to them. Amen.